This morning is Palm Sunday. It is the Sunday before Easter in which Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. Kings in this day and time when Jesus lived would often ride into a city on a white stallion horse with pomp and circumstance, depicting his accomplishments and the honor and glory of his majestic position, his authority as a king. But in contrast to that, we see that our Savior, Jesus Christ, said that he came lowly, meekly, in humiliation, riding upon a donkey. In that day, donkeys were commonplace. Most everyone had a donkey, whether they were able to afford nice horses or not. And if you were not walking from place to place, you rode donkeys from place to place. So they were common. They were commonplace. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I want you to know this. Jesus did not come to set up an earthly kingdom in Jerusalem. When the crowd began to strew palm branches in Jesus' path on Palm Sunday, and they cried unto him in fulfillment of Old Testament scripture, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Most of them believed that Jesus was going to set up an earthly kingdom at that time, that he would deliver them from the Roman Empire, that he would deliver them in a earthly fashion. But we find that Jesus told even Pilate. He says in the Gospel of John, chapter 18, "When Pilate entered into his judgment hall again, he called Jesus, and Pilate said unto him, 'Art thou the King of the Jews?' And Jesus answered Pilate, saying, 'Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?' Then Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Certainly not. Thy own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?'" Pilate asked Jesus, "What have you done? What crime have you committed that your own Jewish leaders would deliver you up unto the Roman authorities for judgment? What have you done?" Then Jesus answered Pilate and said, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not an earthly kingdom. For Jesus said, "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from this world." Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" He wants to know, "Are you a king?" Now bear in mind that if Jesus is claiming to be a king, he would be usurping authority over Pilate and the Roman government. It would be insurrection. Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And Jesus answered him, saying, "You say that I am a king." Notice how he answered him. "To this end was I born, and for this cause," Jesus says, I came into the world that I should bear witness to the truth. For everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Everyone who is of the truth of the Lord hears the voice of God. And then Pilate asked him a very important question. What is truth? What is truth? And when he had asked that, he went out again to the Jews, and he said to those Jews, I find no fault in him. He was perfect. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now back in the Gospel of Luke, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, on the day before Jesus was to enter into Jerusalem, on that Palm Sunday, he gave to us a parable called the Parable of the 10 pounds. It's very similar to the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25. But there's a couple of verses I want you to see here. In the opening, before he gave that parable, he spake as they heard these things. Now I want you to notice what they said. He added and spake a parable, Jesus did, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. They thought that there was going to be an earthly kingdom appearing. But that's not why Jesus came. That was not going to be an earthly kingdom. It was a spiritual kingdom. And so we find that on the night before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, he had supper with a sinner called Simon the leper. Simon the leper. And it was in the town, the village of Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. It had just been a few days before this that Jesus had performed the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. And the Jews that witnessed that miracle could not dispute it. They knew that Lazarus was indeed dead, and they knew that Jesus was the one who had called him out of the tomb. And so, for that reason, as well as the coming feast of Passover, there were hundreds and thousands of Jews in the city of Bethany, traveling on their way to Jerusalem for the feast. And we find that Jesus, in that night before Palm Sunday, that Mary of Bethany, she was a great worshiper of our Lord Jesus Christ. You might remember in an earlier occasion, when Mary and Martha had Jesus in their own home, and it says Martha served, but Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. That's in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. And you might remember that account where Martha kind of got on to her sister, Mary, for not helping her in the kitchen, not helping her to prepare the meal. But Jesus said, rebuke her not, for she has chosen that good part, that of worship. She was a worshiper. Mary of Bethany was not among the women who came on Easter Sunday morning early to the tomb of Jesus with the intention of embalming his body. I believe that the Lord had blessed Mary of Bethany to realize that Jesus was going to be raised from the dead just as he said that he would. And Mary of Bethany, she comes into that supper in the house of Simon the leper on the night before Palm Sunday, and she brings a pound of ointment called spikenard, a very costly ointment. I think it would take a whole year's wages to buy that much spice ointment. And she took that ointment, she broke the alabaster box, and she anointed both the feet and the head of Jesus Christ. And she wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of that precious ointment. But Judas Iscariot, who would be the one who would betray Christ, he was the traitor, the betrayer. He said, "Why was this ointment not sold and dispensed among the poor?" But he didn't say that because he cared for the poor. He said it because he was a thief and held the bag. So Jesus said to him, "Let her alone, for against the day of my burying has she kept this." You always have the poor with you, but me, you don't have me in the flesh on earth always. So there was much people of the Jews that were there. And they came not just to see Jesus only, but they came also that they might see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Now listen to this. The leaders of the Jewish people at that time, they heard how Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and then it says that they consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Oh my goodness, he was in a little danger of dying twice. You don't want to die twice. He would die again, natural death. But you don't want to be raised from the dead just to be killed. But of course that was not to be. That was not going to happen. It says, "By reason of Lazarus, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." The miracle of Lazarus raised from the dead blessed many Jews to believe in Jesus. And so some of them were turning away from the chief priests, the scribes, and the Pharisees. They were jealous. They were fearful of Jesus. They were envious of Jesus. And that's why they delivered him to Pilate, because of envy, jealousy, and fear. But we find in Luke's gospel, in Luke's account of this very same event, Luke chapter 19. There's a couple of verses there that shed some more light on this account. We find that he says, "Go into the village," Jesus told him, "Go into the village over against you. Where you enter in, you shall find a colt tied. And it was a colt whereon never man ever sat before." So this donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem had never, ever been ridden by a human being. We can only imagine what it took, probably, to train those animals to allow men to ride them. I know that it takes time to break horses to ride horses. I would imagine it's probably about the same for donkeys as well. But Jesus is the Creator, and He is able to tame and subdue His own creatures. And I believe that was a further miracle in itself. But He also said this, "If any man ask you, why do you loose him? You will say to him, because the Lord has need of him." Now, isn't that amazing? Well, normally we think of the Lord does not need for anything. He's the Creator, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But He had need of this donkey. And it was in fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. In Zechariah, in the Old Testament, chapter 9 and verse 9, the prophet Zechariah said this, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, for behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass," a donkey. "He is just. Shall not the king of all the earth do right? Yes, he will, and yes, he did. And he came, having salvation. He humiliated himself in this way because it was not proper for a king to come into a town on a donkey. This was self-humiliation. Self-humiliation. But we find that they came praising him. And he says, "When he was come nigh, even at the descent of the Mount of Olives, that the whole multitude began of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice." Why? Because for all of the mighty works that they had seen, the miracles, and they said, "Blessed be the King who comes in the name of our Lord Jehovah. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest." That sounds like the message of the angels when Jesus was born. When they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Some of the Pharisees said to them, "Tell your disciples to be quiet. Rebuke them." They didn't want to hear that praise. But he told them and said this, "I tell you of a fact, if my disciples will hold their peace and be silent, then the very stones will immediately cry out. If my own keep silent, I will cause creation itself to cry out in praise to Almighty God." So Jesus comes toward the city of Jerusalem. But then we find a very sad commentary. The majority of the Jews had rejected Jesus as their king, as their Messiah. And because they had rejected him, the Lord had pronounced judgment upon them. That spiritual kingdom that Jesus came and set up would be taken away from them and given to the Gentile nations, who would show forth the praises of His holy name. And so it says, when Jesus was come near to Jerusalem, that He wept over Jerusalem. He wept and He cried over Jerusalem. And thus, notice what He said. Jesus said, O Jerusalem, if thou had known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things that belong to your peace. If you had known who I am your peace. But now these things are hid from your eyes. But it had to be that way, because the writer says again in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it is. No, excuse me, it's chapter 2 and verse 8. Had they known who He really is, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For the day shall come upon thee that your enemies shall cast a trench about you, and compass you round about, and keep you in on every side, and that your enemies shall lay you even with the ground, and your children within you, and they shall not leave in you one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Jesus said, because of the blindness of your heart, judgment was coming upon Jerusalem. And it came about 37 years later. The Romans came in Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple, burned the city with fire. They leveled the city to the ground. They did not leave one stone standing upon another. But as Jesus was riding into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday, He was not deceived. He knew that it wouldn't be but just a few days later that those same crowds that were praising Him, hailing Him, Hosanna in the highest, those same crowds would soon say, crucify Him, crucify Him. He was not deceived, because they believed that He was coming to save them from the Romans. We find in the book of Psalms, chapter 118. In Psalms 118, I want to close with these thoughts. Beginning in Psalms 118, verse 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. They've been opened to us today, the gates of righteousness. I will go in them and praise the name of the Lord. That's a prophecy of the New Testament church. The gates are open. We come into His house with praise. I will praise Thee, O Lord, for you have heard me, and you are now become my salvation. Jesus is our salvation. The stone which the builders refused is now become the headstone of the corner. Jesus was that stone that the Jewish nation rejected. But he was now become the chief cornerstone of his church. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This is the Lord's doing, and yes, it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We rejoice in Christ today. We are glad. And then here is what they cried on Palm Sunday. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now to us prosperity. For blessed be he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. The word Hosanna literally means save us now. When they cried Hosanna, they were believing that he was bringing immediate salvation, immediate deliverance from their Roman oppressors. But that's not what it was all about. He came to deliver us from sin and death. So he had joy in humiliation. The joy he had in his humiliation was this. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 3, "For consider Jesus, who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and he despised the shame of it, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God on high." The shame, the humiliation of the cross. But the joy was this. Jesus knew that beyond that cross, he would secure the salvation of all his children. What a wonderful truth to know that is. So may God bless us on this Palm Sunday, and may we come into his gates praising his name, realizing he is our salvation.